and back once again in the Gawler Heritage Centre.
Yes.
Looking back at Gawler's history through the pages of the Bunyip for June the 28th, 2023. And today I have special guests, Jill and Les, who are volunteers here. And they're very keen. They love history. And
yes,
they've done a little bit of research as well. So we should get some looking forward to this. So welcome, Jill and Les.
Thank you. Thank you.
Now, I'll let one of you start off by reading 150 years ago. So,
yes, whoever... You wanted me to ring it?
Yes.
So, Gawler Police Court, Thomas Watkins, a painter, was brought before the bench, charged with attempting to paint pictures of human life in Gawler in very hideous and disgusting colours, to which he pleaded guilty. Police Constable Murphy found the painter disfiguring the town by creating great disturbance and insisting upon painting somebody's eyes black or anybody's visage scarlet, who might feel disposed to try the painter's skill at colouring frontispieces. Mr. Murphy, feeling it his duty to stop further proceedings of that nature, proceeded to arrest the painter, who thereupon proceeded to paint Mr. Murphy's shins black and blue, and to excite the surrounding crowd of spectators to release him. The bench sentenced the prisoner to a fine of £5.
Oh, that's a hefty fine.
Yeah, very hefty in those days. That would have been a lot of money.
Yes, it was. Yes. Yeah, it's a hefty fine because quite often reading court accounts at that time, the fine is £1 for a field of stubble being damaged. Or so £5 is a hefty fine.
So they took that very seriously.
They did, yes.
And would have been the very first Gawler graffiti of the area.
Yes. So this one confused us a little, and we all did a little bit of extra research on it to get a better grasp of what happened. Mm. So it sounds like he was a painter by trade who got very drunk and kicked out of the Prince Albert Hotel and then started graffitiing with the paint that he had. Obviously he had his tools of his trade with
him.
Yes, using the tools of his trade. That's the story behind that. So now maybe over to you, Liz, for 100 years ago.
Gawler District Band. There was a fair attendance of the public at the meeting in the Gawler Institute on Thursday evening of last week to hear the report of the committee chosen to make inquiry into the formation of a brass band for Gawler. The Mayor, Mr. W.H. Cox, presided and spoke of the great loss sustained by the town in the abandonment of Riggs Vicarage Band. Gawler had the benefit of that organisation for over 60 years, and since it had relinquished playing and disbanded, there was a vacuum that was left by the people, especially on the shopping evening.
Right.
They had music at the shopping.
Yes, that would be a thing. Probably a couple of months ago, we read the story about the disbandment of Riggs Band. Mm. So then, of course, they formed the Gawler Town Band.
Well, that's right. The Gawler District Band, we celebrated the beginning of the band in our last gallery exposition.
Exhibition.
And through the years, there's been so many people that played in that band.
Mm.
One of my friends played in it sort of about 20 or 30 years ago. And
yes.
And it was a very important part of Gawler.
It has been, yes.
Gawler, I think, has always had a musical thing in the exhibition, all the different theatres and plays and dances and the town band played for all of those sort of things.
And a lot would have been held upstairs.
That's in the institute.
Yes.
Well, when they opened this new revamped Civic Centre, the Gawler Town Band played in the main street for all
of
us.
Yes, they did. Mm. Yes.
Yes.
Still a part of Gawler culture.
Absolutely.
They're essential parts. It's a really important story, that one. So, Jill, would you like to go to 50 years ago?
Okay, so criticism over press reports on new course. The concentrated press reports on sex education in schools was criticised recently at a meeting of the Mid-North Welfare Association. The state president, Mrs. Nolan, said she deplored the adverse reporting on a minute section of the new health course, now being taught at 12 pilot schools. The new course offers sex education as part of the program. Mrs. Nolan outlined the new course and suggested that parents might like to take the course themselves in the same way they did when the new mathematics course a few years ago. And I was fascinated by that because I've been a teacher for 40 years. And I can remember, first of all, that when it mentions the new maths, And when I was in about year five, they brought in new maths. It was trying to use concrete materials to learn about numbers and adding and things like that. And I can remember as a child, they introduced the idea of the Venn diagram. I can remember that quite vividly. But as a teacher, the sex education courses have come and gone over the years. But when the South Australian brought out the South Australian curriculum in the... would have been 1990s or so. We had to go to conferences and learn all about the new... It was quite explicit, but on the other hand, it was, I think, very, very valuable. And then they modified it a bit at one stage, and we had then go to more conferences about that and how to teach all that. And, yes, it was very upfront. It was giving proper facts rather than opinion or belief. Yes,
and that's so important in
teaching. And it is for all children, depending on their age, of course, but year sevens, I think they started mainly with year sevens and then into high school. It's still a part of the Australian curriculum now.
Yes. I think South Australia is often very progressive in its teaching skills.
It was part of the health course.
Yes.
So it was in amongst a lot of other health ideas. So it was controversial.
I imagine.
Some parents didn't like it. I know when I was teaching it, the parents could nominate to actually have the children not be taught it.
Yeah.
So it was sometimes for some people confronting. But levelled at the level of the child's age, of what is suitable for them and to take on information at that age. So,
what would have been very carefully thought through designed. It wouldn't have just been something that was just hobbled together.
I actually thought the course was very, very good.
Yeah.
I had to learn to be brave, though, especially with some of the questions you would get.
Yes, I can imagine. I like the fact that they're suggesting parents should do it too, and the maths course, because I think that is so valuable if parents did some of the subjects that the children did. Mm. So, okay, we'll move on to 25 years ago.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Ken Barricand, a street performer who became well known as Constable Bob and Bingo Buzzsaw, has written a heartfelt letter from Mobalong Prison, apologising to the people of Gawler and Barossa Valley. Mr Barricand, 34, who was arrested by police in January 1997 in Gawler's main street, says that he feels an apology is not only in order but essential in the process of coming to terms with my past. He was arrested here on an outstanding warrant for escaping from a New South Wales minimum security prison 4 years earlier.
Wow.
It's not very often somebody apologises for their behaviour.
No, it isn't. Yes. No. I guess maybe he was trying to start afresh and...
Maybe he'd had some sort of rehabilitation within within the prison. And
it was certainly an eye-opener going in there.
Yeah, well, Les was a police officer, so he visited prisons. It's just very unusual for an apology. It's usually, I haven't really heard it happen too often. But.
When we started locking people up, they'd want to lure the living daylights out of you. And by the time you'd got them in the cells and stuff like that, and they'd settle down, and then the next day they'd be at the bars of the exercise yard apologising to you. So, they repented.
So you did get apologies.
Oh, you got apologies. Yeah, once they'd sort of sobered up and realised what they'd done, they would sort of not all of them, of course, but a good percentage of them would say, "Look, I'm sorry, mate."
That's a really good sign of.
Yeah, but then of course they'd do it again some later on, But it was
often didn't learn from their mistakes.
It was just the alcohol. And in later days, it was.
Yeah.
Heavier stuff.
I guess too, for some, it's background and not untreated mental illness another major problem.
And who they associated with.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, move on to Jill. 10 years ago.
Buff gets the top job. Gawler sporting icon Darren Lehman will be hoping to lead Australia to Ashes glory after being named as coach of the national team on Monday. Lehman was parachuted into the role after the shock sacking of South African Mickey Arthur just weeks before the commencement of the 5-test series in England. Lehman, who is the current Australia A and Queensland coach, was told of his appointment late on Sunday. And you might wonder as to why that was actually in the Bunyip. Mm. And it was in the Bunyip because there's a Gawler connection to Darren Lehman. And he went to the Evanston Primary School.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And he learned to play cricket out on the school oval.
Wow.
And the sports teacher, Mr. Bert Hardwick, first taught him to play cricket. And he was also supported by the principal at the time, Kevin Shear. Mm-hmm. But he lived in Sunnyside Drive at Evanston Park,
right.
Just a couple of doors down from us.
Yeah.
And he would be playing, every time I came home from school, he and his friends would be out in the middle of the road playing cricket. So, I didn't run him over, but...
His father was a workmate of mine.
Right,
So that's why it's been included in there, because there is a Gawler connection to him.
Yeah, oh, wonderful. And so we'll finish here and... Oh, thank you very much, and I'll see you again next week, because you're filling in once again.
Yes, we are filling in. Yes, we've got one.
So, until next week.
Okay. For all life.